more of you, nothing less will do. Lord, we ask of you, give us more.
Come on, sing with me. More,
more of you,
nothing else will do.
Lord, we ask of you, say it again,
more of you,
tried everything else.
God, we ask you,
give us more.
Oh,
more of you,
nothing
less will do.
Lord, we ask you,
Lord,
give us more.
That's our prayer this morning, Lord, for more of you, more of your presence, more of your power, more of your spirit in our lives. We want to be filled to overflowing, Lord. We want our cup to run over, Lord. We want to have enough for us and other people, Lord. We want it to run over so we can help other people get free in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, by the resurrection power of Jesus. We want people to get free, Lord. Lord, we pray and ask for your anointing today. Holy Spirit, come in this place and lead the rest of this service. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Welcome, everyone. Fire and Grace Church this morning, those watching and listening. Still sounding a little hollow there. Just turn me down a little bit in here, but not out there. I don't know. I'll tell you what we might just do until we get this worked out. Let me have that, the Shure handheld. Are we on? Check 1, 2. Okay, that sounds better, doesn't it? All right, good deal. All right, everybody. Well, the Lord is faithful. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to get your Bibles out, and let's turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 13. I will say this, the Lord is faithful because it's like, I think it's been the last 3 weeks in a row. Don't quote me on that. It's been at least the last few, two or three, that I pray and pray and seek the Lord about the message. Studied something else out, have notes and PowerPoint and something else, but I just didn't feel like that was going to be it for today. And he's been giving them to me during praise and worship time. So, you know, you don't get to pick when if you want to listen to him. Most pastors just proceed with what they have planned and don't change when God has a different plan. So, that's why I've learned over the years, it's better to go with him. Amen? I want everybody to turn to Matthew 13 and go down. We're going to look at verse 45 and 46 this morning. Don't think I've ever preached on this, but it kind of goes with what I was talking about last week, because last week the Lord gave me a prophetic word, a prophetic message about 2020, about that this is a year for those who have been struggling with things for a long, long time. This may be the same trial, the same sickness, the same addiction, the same sins, that this is your year if you want it to be. You hear what I'm saying? If you want it to be, if you want it bad enough. And the problem with American Christians is that we say with our heart we want things, but we don't really, or we say with our mouth, but our heart's far from it. We just don't, we don't have the follow through, right? And so we're going to talk about that just a little bit. I want to read this parable here, short parable that Jesus gave, the pearl of great price. And this is Jesus, one of the shortest parables he gave, not the shortest, but one of them. But he said this here. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. How many times have we read over that and we don't really grasp the concept? And let me just say, if the American church, and I say that any church really, if the American church, the Australian church I hear is just as bad, the UK churches are just as bad, but if we would grasp this one thing, the reason that we lack power from heaven, the reason we don't see answers from heaven, the reason we don't get the desires of our heart or see miracles or revival is because we have lost the concept that to follow Jesus means to forsake everything else. We have forgotten that to follow Jesus means we are willing to sacrifice everything to follow him. We're willing to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him no matter what the cost. And the problem is that really most churches and most Christians have sold out. They've stopped short. They don't sell everything. They don't sell the fields they have and go get the one where Jesus is. They don't go get the field with the pearl of great price. They want to keep their field and have that other field too, and you can't do that. And that is the problem. And so we have so many Christians in the Western church world right now that they still want. They want their sin, they want their jobs, they want their money, they want their fancy house, they want their fancy cars, they want to go to college, they got all these plans. And Jesus may be saying, you know what, I want you to go this way. I want you to sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Everything. Now listen, if we want to break addiction, this is a problem, listen to me, and I'm going to talk about this in the days ahead even more. But these addictions, addictions to sexual immorality, addictions to pornography, addictions to drugs and prescription drugs, addictions to all kinds of things are in the church among Christians. Do you hear me? Christians are addicted to these things. How do I know this? Because I get the emails. I get the messages. I get the phone calls now from all over the world. I'm a born-again Christian. I love Jesus. I was saved whenever. But I have struggled with pornography consistently in my life. I'm talking about a weekly, daily habit. If that's in your life, a weekly, daily habit, you have a stronghold, you have an addiction, and the problem is not Jesus, the problem is you. Because if you want to be free bad enough, you will get free. Oh, but I can't, Pastor Dean. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. See, this is something we got to get into. This verse is quoted by everybody. All Christians quote this verse. Let's get Philippians 4. Frankly, I get tired of Christians quoting this verse because they don't know what it means. Let's read it. I bet y'all know where I'm going. 4:13, sound familiar? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One minute you will say that out of your mouth, Christian, and the next minute you'll be saying, I can't. I can't stop this. I can't do this. I can't forsake this. I can't lay this down. I can't stop the drugs. I can't stop the sexual immorality. I can't stop the homosexuality. I can't stop the pornography. I can't stop the adultery. I can't stop. You'll say, I can, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. Yeah, preacher, that sounds good. Hear me, do you believe that? The problem with all of us, with anything, when it comes down to if we're Christians, it's unbelief. Do you believe this verse? I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Well, if you can't do all things that you need to do to walk with him and live for him and obey him and love him, then something means you're not doing it, you're not living this thing through Christ. You're not getting his strength. Why? Because you're still holding on to the other field. Or you're doubting, or you're just living in a place where one minute you say this verse and the next minute you say, I can't do it. The moment you do that, you move into unbelief. And can I say this? Unbelief is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's what the book of James says. If you believe, you can be free in Jesus, through Jesus, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to follow him, you will get free. And there's some Christians, listen, you're running out of time. You think you're going to heaven with a weekly, daily pornography addiction? No, you're not. In fact, you know the verse, and I'm getting a message ready on divorce and remarriage. It's really what I was working on yesterday and the last few days. And what are the grounds? There are biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. There's a lot of kooky teachings going on around here. But one of the things we forget in Matthew 5, when Jesus was talking about that, he says that, you know, you've heard it said that a man should not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her in his heart has committed adultery already. Well, let me tell you what the key is there. The word or the verb, look or looketh in the King James, is a present tense Greek verb, which means ongoing, continuously, and taking place in the present. Now, let me just go ahead and give you a sneak preview. Men, and look, I know it's not all men because I know I've had to counsel some women, not privately, mind you, but there are women that have addictions to pornography too. Okay, it's not just men, but it's just mostly men. But you need to hear this right here. The Greek word there for, in the verse talking about divorce and remarriage, where Jesus said, except or saving in the case of fornication. He doesn't use adultery as grounds for divorce. He says fornication. And the Greek word is pornea, which covers all sexual uncleanness. But right before that, is when he says, if a man looks on a woman to lust after in her heart, he's committed adultery already. He's talking about a habitual lifestyle. Now listen, there's probably not any man or woman, and I'm talking about Christian, that doesn't have a moment sometimes where they slip up or they look at somebody or they see something and they lust. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a habitual lifestyle, a careless I'm going to do it day after day after day. And let me tell you how you know you're headed down what is grounds for divorce. Is when you harden your heart. You're more into that than you're into your spouse. When that becomes more important to you, when you harden your heart toward your spouse, and you're all about the pornography and the lust and your selfish desires, Because I know situations right now in Christian marriages where the husband won't even, he doesn't even sleep in the bed with his wife because he stays up all night looking at pornography every single night. That man better wake up because he is headed to an eternal damnation in hell because he is in the habitual lifestyle of pornography, pornia, fornication, adultery. And guess what? His wife has grounds to say, I'm done with this. It's time to, we need to snap out of it. Christians have used, see, this is why, you people, you want to know why? I hate the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, no matter how you live, or unconditional eternal security. The reason I hate it so bad is because that doctrine is embraced by so many, many people who are addicted to some sin they love in their life. Whether it's pornography or fornication or adultery or homosexuality or even now pedophilia. They're so addicted or addicted to drugs or alcohol or pills or whatever. And they're Christians, right? And they're Christians and they got the excuse, well, I'm saved. I'm once saved, always saved. I'm eternally secure. No matter what kind of habitual wickedness I indulge in, I'm still going to heaven. No, you are not. Wake up. You better get a hatred for sin in your life. You better treat it like a rattlesnake that wants to kill you instead of cuddling up with it. That's what you're doing. You guys don't realize this. You think you can look at pornography every single day? You think you can watch pornography? Do what you do when you watch pornography every single day? And you think God's okay with this? With this lifestyle? No, and again, I'm not talking about struggling. I'm not talking about fighting against it. If you're fighting against it, good for you. You're headed in the right direction. You will win if you will fight. But if you're just giving in and making excuses and embracing the false doctrines of Calvinism, of grace, you're abusing grace. You're making grace a license to make you feel a false security while you live in sin. I mean, we were talking to someone the other day. And there's a big church. Big church. And the worship team. There's an adulterous affair going on the worship team. And the woman's trying to justify it. Well, you just don't know what I'm living through. I love him. No, you don't. Let me tell you something. You better love God. And the Bible says if you love God, you will obey him. So you can, you know what? I don't care how bad your husband is. That doesn't give you a license to cheat. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, David Wilkerson, the great prophet of God, pastor, Times Square Church, Cross in the Switchblade. I have his book from 1985, I think it is, called Set Thy Trumpet to Thy Mouth. He's got a whole chapter in it that divorce was rampant in the church in 1985. And what are we talking about? We're talking about what the Pharisee said, divorce for any reason. Well, I'm just not happy, so I'm going to find me another honey. Now, we've got a house full of adulterers. We got a house full of people addicted to pornography. I'm talking about the church world. You wonder why there's so many people into lesbianism and homosexuality? You want to know why? Because if you watch that crap for hours and hours and hours a day, let me tell you something. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 3 says you become what you behold. What you focus your eyes on, what you focus your heart on, what you meditate on, that is what you become. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You cannot meditate on something and not become that. That's why the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We must fight this spiritual war until we win. You cannot lose. If you lose, you lose your soul. This is what the preachers aren't telling you, these little mega church sissy boys. They got tens of thousands of people listening to them, and they don't tell them anything they need to hear. They tell them what they think they want to hear. And their churches are full of fornication, adultery, pornography addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. But we're saved by grace. Let me tell you, there is no other way that word from Jude is fulfilled but that mentality, where he warned that people would creep into the church and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now listen, I know some people, and I know this. Look, can I make sure I put a difference? I know there's some people that were sexually abused when they were young, terribly. And they're going to struggle with lust probably most of their lives. They're going to struggle with all kind of emotional, spiritual problems, and it takes a lot longer time for them to get healed and to get free. I'm not talking about those people right now. But I just want you to know there's a difference. If that didn't happen to you, guess what? You better quit making excuses. Well, Pastor Dean, I found some pornography when I was young. Well, guess what? I did too. Very young. Thanks to stupid parents and stupid people. But let me just tell you something. Jesus came to set the captives free. But the only people to get free that are the ones that are willing to turn loose of everything and follow him. Because let me tell you something. The road that you have to walk down to follow him, your freedom might be a mile down that road. It might be 2 miles down that road. It might be 5 miles down that road. It might be 10 miles down that road. All I'm saying is you better keep going down that road. Too many people stop before they get there and they camp out. Well, Jesus, you set me free right here. While I'm on my computer. No. It's time. Let me show you. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I just need to read a few passages here. Let them sink in. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. Let's see. We'll go down to verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Good question. Everyone should run to Jesus and say, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now listen to this. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Is it ever a question of God loving us? Is it ever a question about whether God wants us to make it to heaven and inherit eternal life? Is there ever a question that about his desire for us? No. So Jesus looks at this young man and just loves him. Love just pouring out of his heart to him. But now if Jesus was a present-day megachurch pastor, he'd say, you're in. Once and forever. Or a Baptist pastor, or a Presbyterian, or a Lutheran, or an Episcopal, or a Charismatic, or a Pentecostal. Most of them now are in the same era. We're in a terrible, terrible time. But look what he says here. Then Jesus, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack. Boy, would a preacher say that anymore? Guess what? You want to be saved, but there's something you lack. Don't just believe, pray this prayer with me, sign this card, you're in. One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Now I want to just stop here. I mean, we could keep reading this. Well, what was Jesus trying to get? Jesus pinpointed his problem, which is, in his case, it was money, it was wealth, it was his possessions. But in our case, sometimes it can be a relationship. It can be a job. It could be a house. It could be a car. It could be our own plans for our life. It could be pornography, drugs, alcohol, an affair, or an affair we want to have. We got all these things, and the Lord says, you know, you want me? You want eternal life? You want to go to heaven? You want to inherit eternal life? Here's what you got to do, John. Here's what you got to do, Jordan. Here's what you got to do. Turn loose of that thing right there, that field you love, that thing you love, that sin you love. Give it away. Leave it all. Take up your cross and follow me. That cross means you're willing to crucify the flesh, the self-will. Take up your cross and follow me. See, a lot of people, they think they're following Jesus, but they left the cross way behind. Because they don't want to crucify anything. They just want, like I said a few weeks ago, they just want fire insurance. They won't hope that, oh, I got Jesus. I believe in Jesus, so I'm not going anywhere. Listen, this guy believed in Jesus and loved Jesus and ran to Jesus and kneeled to Jesus and said, I want to go to heaven. This looks like somebody that's running to the altar. I want to be saved. But the Lord didn't say you're in just because you believe. He said, one thing you lack, son. You lack something. You're not willing to turn loose of your stuff, your plans, your sin, your will. If you'll turn loose of that and come and follow me, then you will inherit eternal life. Listen, I've got people right now that'll come on my Facebook page with me preaching this right here and say, oh, he's preaching lordship salvation. He's in error because they've listened to the demonic doctrines of Calvinism and they don't understand. Guess what? Jesus said, if you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say, guess what? You're not his. If you say Jesus is my Lord and you don't have any intention on obeying him, you're a liar. And the truth's not in you. There's plenty of people that say, Jesus, I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. But I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. Oh, because I'm covered by grace. Keep believing that and see what happens. No. Let me show you another verse. Go to Luke. Oh, there'll be people come up and say, oh, these scriptures right here that you're preaching today, those were just for the disciples. Those were just for the Jews. It's not for us. That's someone headed to hell right there. That's your false teacher. Last time I checked, the Word of God said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. I mean, we have people saying the words of Jesus are not for the church, are not for New Testament Christians. I'm like, oh, dear God. Lord, you said these days would come, but doesn't make them any easier. Look at this, Luke 14. I've read this many times. Verse 25, let's read from there. I think I read this a few weeks ago, but obviously the Lord wants this to get through to somebody. And can I say this? I get the good emails too. I get an email from Australia. Thank you, Pastor Dean, for preaching what you preach. It led me back to Christ. That's what it's all about. The truth will set you free, not the cotton candy. Mega church cotton candy. Don't want it. I hate it with a passion. It's destroying people. Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them. Now, great multitudes are following Jesus. Did he turn and say, hey, you guys believe in me? You're in, and you're eternally secured. Never once did Jesus say that, right? No, this is what he said. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he's talking about in comparison to how you feel about him. Look, there's a lot of marriages that are going to fall apart and that are falling apart right now because one has decided to follow Jesus and the other wants no part of it. And they're going to fall apart. Let's keep reading. Verse 27, Jesus speaking, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you see that? Cannot be. So let me just go on and tell you right now, these churches across this town this morning, most of the people in there that claim they're following Jesus are not his disciples. This is the harsh reality. Christianity has not been preached. Christianity, the reason they called them Christians in the first place is because they were so much like him. Now, not perfectly like him, because nobody is. But they were like, these people are doing what Jesus did. These people are preaching what Jesus preached. So they're Christians. But let's keep reading. Verse 27 again. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after that he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he shall be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassadors and desireth conditions of peace. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The verb forsaketh there. Again, another present tense Greek verb. Ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. It's not about starting and stopping. It's about taking up your cross and following it. Now, let me show you something else. This will fly in the face of 99% of what's being preached in pulpits today. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. I don't know, I just feel like preaching today a little bit. Man, it's only 11:35. Y'all just getting, that was just an introduction. We might get done early today, who knows. Think about this verse. Think about this passage right here. To me, this is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. You want eternal life, huh? You want salvation. You want to go to heaven when you die. You want to be with Jesus. You want to miss the damnation of hell. Eternal damnation, eternal torment, eternal separation from God and all that is good. You want to miss all that, go to heaven. Inherit the kingdom of the earth. Inherit the earth when the Lord makes the new heavens and the new earth. You want all that. Well, that's good. I'm glad you want that. Do you want it bad enough? Let's look at this right here. Speaking of Jesus here. Verse 8. We're going to go to verse 8. I'm sorry. Verse 8 and 9. Hallelujah. Go ahead. This is in your Bible. Read up. You ought to underline this one. This one ought to be highlighted. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Do you see that? Wait a minute, Pastor Dean. I thought you just had to believe. See, the problem is that the way we interpret the word believe in just English and the way the Bible means it. See, the word believe in the Bible, pistuo, or pistis, sounds terrible. But it means to trust in, to rely in Jesus, to keep that profession and that relationship steadfast to the end. That's what the word believe means. So if you quit, if you draw back, if you backslide, if you fall away, if you walk away, then you're not doing that. You're not believing and you're not obeying. You could do this. You could write believe on a chalkboard and then you could put equals obey. Then you could put unbelief equals disobey. It's real simple. Not complicated at all. Let's read that again. I want everybody to see it again. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The word obey is a verb here, and it, again, is a present tense Greek verb meaning ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. Meaning you are obeying him, you're continually obeying him, and you're obeying him right now. What do you mean by obey Jesus? What did Jesus tell the rich and ruler? You know the commandments. There are commandments from the Old Testament that passed over into the New. Guess what? Adultery was a commandment in the Old Testament that you were not to break. And that adultery is a commandment in the New Testament you're not supposed to break. The same with fornication, homosexuality. Do you know that even being effeminate is a sin? Oh, Pastor Dean, he's an effeminate man. Oh, Pastor Dean, I can't help it. Oh, you can help it, buddy. Let me give you a little clue. Stop acting like a woman. Effeminate. And let me just go on and tell you this. We're so nice. Christians are so nice. You know that. We're just so nice. We're so nice. We just nice people right into hell. Let me tell you what I'm discovering, and I'm just going to say it. We see these effeminate men come into the church, into Christianity, and they claim to be Christians. And maybe they believe in Jesus. Maybe some of them were molested when they were kids, so maybe we can give some of them a pass. But one thing I'm discovering, and this is 30-plus years of running into these, really longer than that, running into these people. It seems that every time I give one of these people the benefit of the doubt, well, maybe they just have the spirit, the effeminate spirit, but they're not a homosexual. I find out later they're homosexual. So let me tell you something. I can tell you this much. I knew a man who was molested when he was a child, and it was terrible, and it threw him into just this dark world. He came up as a teenager and then his early 20s in practicing homosexuality because of that sexual abuse. It perverted his mind. It perverted his spirit. It opened the door to demons. But this guy got saved. Now, he really got saved. Really got saved. Born again, Holy Ghost filled, but he never went through deliverance. He never kept going down the road until there was complete freedom. Now, he was diligent in his Christian walk for a season, for like 10 years. He studied the Bible all the time. He was in prayer meetings all the time. He went through Bible school. He became a minister of the gospel. He did a good job holding those effeminate homosexual demons, the beach balls, I call them, holding beach balls underwater. He did a good job of doing that for about 10 years. And then he and I met. Well, I noticed this guy, I knew he loved Jesus. But he had some flaming mannerisms. Homosexual mannerisms, effeminate mannerisms. And I thought, this ain't good. And he was a hairdresser on top of it. Okay. Love the guy. He may be watching today. He knows I love him. He knows I long for his freedom. But I come into the picture, and I share with him about deliverance. And he actually comes and sits through one of my classes where I taught deliverance for Christians from demons. He sat through an hour and a half class. And he stayed after everybody else left, and he says, I need to do this. But let me tell you, he never followed through. I tried to set up times with him, dates with him, to get with him. I even prayed with one of his friends that needed it real bad. But he never showed up. Then just about a year after that, 2 or 3 years after that, I find out that he fell away, fell back into that homosexual lifestyle. After 10 years of walking with the Lord. Because you can't hold those beach balls in the water forever. All right? But let me tell you this. Let me just say this. There's some of you were molested, or you were raped. There's bad stuff that's happened. And you need healing and you need deliverance, or you're not going to make it. And it's something you've got to pursue until you get it. And he didn't, and I'm going to tell you, he went back into homosexuality. He lost everything. His wife left him. He had children. He ended up back with a partner. And I can look at him to this day. I ran into him a few years ago. I can look at his eyes are misery. Misery. Darkness. He is such a captive to this thing. Now, I know there's cases like that, okay? That's not the ones I'm talking about. There's people, though, that didn't happen to. They just made choices. We'll say, well, I just have these same-sex urges. Well, guess what? Every human being alive has wrong sexual urges that we have to bring under control and make our flesh come into submission and not give in to them. See, sadly, The church world's failed. You want to know why we have, and I'm just going to say it, why we have the homosexual problem that we have now, and I'm talking about this whole thing that's gone crazy, it's because the church didn't know how to help them. You know, me and another brother, we were out witnessing on downtown Auburn one time a few years ago, and we came upon these two homosexuals and started talking to them about Jesus, and he goes, you know, I tried Jesus, but it didn't work. I said, well, tried Jesus, and it didn't work. Where did you try Jesus? Well, I went to such and such a Lutheran church. Well, I said, there's your problem right there. I said, let me ask you something. Did anybody in that Lutheran church lay hands on you and cast those homosexual, perverted demons out of you in Jesus' name? He said, no. I said, well, that's why you still got them. I said, you didn't try Jesus because my Jesus would cast the demons out of you. I said, that's one. He wants to set you free. And I told him, the Lord, I said, God loves you. He wants to set you free, but you have to want it. You have to want it bad. You have to want it bad enough to walk away from this life and friends and people and the whole community. You want to get free from drugs? Listen, you want to get free from drugs and alcohol? Sometimes you got to leave the town you live in because you know where every drug dealer lives. Sometimes all it takes, if you've had a drug addiction, is to see something that you've seen before. See a house that you used to party in. But what I'm saying is, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Well, Pastor Dean, if I stop this lifestyle, then I'm going to lose my job because all the people I work with are into that, and they're going to think I'm crazy, and I'm going to get fired. Or I'm going to lose this, or I'm going to lose. You know what you're doing? You're trusting riches. You're trusting all that other stuff. Oh, I can't. There's people right now, your income comes from marijuana, selling marijuana, and you think it's okay to smoke it. No, it's not okay to smoke marijuana. Can we just say that as a Christian? I smoked it. I know what it does to you. You are not sober-minded. I felt the demon. I've shared this before. The first time I smoked it, I felt the demon that came with it come in me. You know why? Because I was saved when I was 11 years old, and I had the discerning of spirits when I was a child. I could discern spirits, and I could see them. I knew what they were. I just didn't know how to deal with any of it because nobody taught me anything. I knew people were into Satanism and witchcraft when I was a little kid. I could just discern it all. How about that, though? He became the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. So, Pastor Dean, I want eternal life. I want to go to heaven. I want to be free from my sins. I want to be free from my addictions. Do you want to obey? Do you want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you truly want to make him Lord? Or do you just want help so you feel better, but you don't really want to surrender to Jesus? So I've prayed and asked Jesus to set me free, and he hasn't. It's because you haven't surrendered to him. Why would he set you free and you have no real intention on making him Lord of your life? If he sets you free and you still don't want to make him Lord of your life 100%, then you're going to run to something else. And he knows that. He's only going to help you do something else or make you feel better or heal you for a season, and you get healthy, and then you go back to the drugs or back to whatever. See, the problem is, remember this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Until you are terrified of your sin taking you to hell and separating you from God, until you really believe that the Lord will say, depart from me into everlasting fire. If you don't believe that, then you are not even at the starting point of wisdom or salvation. You see, when I finally came to the Lord, when I finally understood repentance, when I finally understood, because the fear of the Lord came upon me, because he made it clear to me, son, you can have everything the world has to offer and go to hell, or you can surrender your life to me and live forever. And I knew then I had to give up my sin, my fornication, my pornography, my drugs, my alcohol, my modeling career, my plans to be rich and famous that were coming to pass. That I had to turn loose of that and follow Jesus. So you want to know why I made it? Listen, I was an alcoholic. At 19 years old, I was getting drunk nearly every single day of my life, to the point I was getting alcohol poisoning. I had a problem, and I would do any drug that was put in front of me. Can you imagine if I went to Hollywood and became rich? What would have happened to me? Thank God he stopped me before I moved there. It's all the way. You can't go halfway as a Christian. You cannot. American Christianity is not enough. You understand what I'm saying? The reason these churches are dead and powerless is because they stopped and said, this is as far as we go. You want some more scary verses? I think we need to do scary verses. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me say this, Christians. You better quit worrying about God judging the world, because he judges the church first. And we got just as many problems. Babe, how many women in church on average have had abortions, Christian women? 1 in 3. 1 in 3 Christian women who attend church regularly have had an abortion by the time they're 45. Christian women. 1 in 3. How serious is that? You can sit in church, get pregnant, go kill your baby, and then keep going to church. Now, I'm not saying that ain't going to affect you. I mean, it affects them. My wife used to head up a pregnancy resource center to try to help keep women from having abortions, so she knows all the statistics and used to speak in all churches, and the women would come up to her and confess. And let me tell you, let me just say that right now. Listen, there's no condemnation. Listen to me, women. If you've had an abortion, we're not here to condemn you, but it is murder. It is murder, and when you open that door by the sin of murder, you open the door to death and destruction and suicide and depression and guilt and shame and even physical problems. You open the door to all kinds of demons. So you have to confess that sin to the Lord, ask him to forgive you, and then you need deliverance. You need to get freedom from that. You need somebody to help you through that. Or you'll do it again. There's a lot of women out there just suffering because they've never dealt with the guilt and the shame and the pain and the demons from an abortion. I mean, look, there's probably married couples out there that the husband doesn't know the wife's had an abortion in the past. It gets wild out there. Let me tell you, the Christian community, there's a lot of secrets. Lots of secrets. 1 Peter 4. Verse 17 and 18. This is not what you hear at your First Baptist Church on a Sunday. Let's read it. You know why? Because it's got that obey word in it again. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What? I thought everybody that believed was getting in. I thought everybody's going. We're all going to heaven, right? All the churches are, everybody's going. if the righteous scarcely be saved? I didn't write that. The Holy Spirit did through Peter. He says, judgment's going to start at the house of God, and what will the end be of those who, what? Do not believe the gospel? No, those who do not obey the gospel. Obey, obey, obey. Well, wait a minute. I was told I just had to believe. Well, I'm telling you what Jesus said. I'm telling you what the apostles said. They said, you better believe and you better obey. Go with me to John 14. Can I just preach for a minute? It's not even 12 yet. We're doing good. We're getting to cover a lot of scriptures. Oh, I'll get hate mail over this. I'll get hate mail over this. Over preaching repentance and obedience and truly making Jesus Lord of your life, taking up your cross and following him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what it means to love God, hate sin, and love God. I will get hate mail over this from Christians. I don't even get stuff. Listen, I don't even get stuff from unsaved people most of the time. I get it from Christians. Oh, they wear me out sometimes. Y'all ready? Go to verse 23. Let's back up. I'm sorry. Let's look at verse 21. We'll read a few here. John 14, verse 21. Everybody with me? See, the problem is, American church, we don't read our Bibles either, do we? You know why? How I learned this? By reading it. I started reading these things, and I kept coming across the same theme. I thought, this must be important. So I started preaching it when I was 19 years old. It was a long time ago. I'm 52 now. John 14, verse 21. This is Jesus speaking. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Present tense Greek verb. Ongoing, continuous, taking place in the present. I'm going to drill that into your head. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. What does he say? This is the one who loves me. You say you love God? Do you obey God? Because if you say you love God, but you don't want to obey God, then what? Your lips. You draw near to him with your mouth, but your heart is far from him. You have a hypocritical Christianity. You have a fake, false Christianity. You want to know proof you love God? You want to obey him more than anything else. And then Jesus makes this promise. He that keeps my commandments hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loves me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said, to the person who obeys me, I reveal myself to them. Oh, could I preach for a minute? So many people, listen to me. So many people only know Jesus, what they've heard. They know him in their head. They haven't had a revelation of him. They haven't had him manifest himself to them because they haven't been willing to truly surrender and obey. When I finally, in 1987, said, okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm giving up everything, my sin, my own plans, everything. I'm done. I'm giving you my life. When I made that full surrender, Jesus began to reveal himself to me. It was almost immediate. Open vision of him standing in heaven. Holy Spirit speaking to me. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. The other gifts, word of knowledge, the gift of prophecy. Started leading people to Jesus. Started seeing people healed in Jesus' name. Why did Jesus begin to reveal himself to me? And it became more than just a belief or a creed or a mental thing. It's because I surrendered. And so he could manifest himself to me. That's why I got to see the deaf hear and the crippled walk and the dead be raised and cast demons out of people when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. You want Jesus to manifest himself, reveal himself to you? Surrender. Quit holding on. Quit holding on to the field. Sell it. And go get the pearl at great price. Trust me, it's worth it. It's worth it to know him. And not just know about him. Most of the church world only knows about him. Very few know him. This is what's so important. He is worth everything. He's worth losing whatever you got to lose. He's worth giving up whatever you got to give up. He's worth taking the road to break whatever addiction you got to break to break it. He's worth it. And trust me on this one. He said, "Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those that love him." Meaning, we have no clue what he has waiting for those who will love him. And what do we know about loving him? For those who love him enough to obey him. See, I'll be stirring up all the Baptists, the Methodists that are about to vote homosexuality is okay. All these backslidden, dead, demon-filled churches and Christians. They're all going to be mad today. All the megachurch, Highlands people, Haji baby. Wasn't that from, that's right, Magnum P.I., they called him Higgy baby. Haji baby. I'm an 80s child, y'all know that. I'm going to deal with that boy, too, here in the days ahead. Why? But why do I do that? You say, Pastor Dean, you mean sometimes. No. I'm tired of false Christianity. I'm tired of lukewarm, cotton candy Christianity. Really, what it is, it's a Christian vaccine. They give you just enough of Christianity to make you think, but they make you immune to the real thing. So when somebody like me comes around talking about obeying Jesus, that sounds completely foreign because these cats out here have just constantly said, "Oh, just believe and you're secure no matter how you live." And they've said it enough, and just like any lie, if you say it enough, guess what? People believe it. And then you take a scripture out of context, and then you really seal it in there. And you ignore the scriptures that tell you, no, you can't live that way. Believe me, I've watched people pull a few scriptures out of context for 30-something years and ignore the mountain of scriptures that tell them to the contrary. Oh, well, amen or oh me, right? Amen or oh me. I know it's oh me for a lot of folks out there. Let's keep reading. I'm going to read verse 22 and 23. I might quit here in a minute. I said might. Let's read a few more. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So he just says the same thing again. If you love me, you will obey my words, you'll keep my words, and the Father and I, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will come and abide with you, dwell with you, live inside of you. I'll be with you. See, that's what I'm trying to get across today. You've got to turn loose of the field to get the pearl. And then he says this, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And then he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now let me show you something. I'm going to show you this. Go to Revelation. And I'm thinking that it's 22, the last chapter, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, here we go. Now, of course, the Torah heads, they all think they're talking about keeping the old covenant rituals and ceremonies and Sabbaths and new moons and feasts and all that stuff. That's not what the New Testament commandments are clear. I'm not going to cover that again. I think I got about 10 hours of teaching out there on that right there alone, just the Torah deception and error that's out there. But in the New Testament, the New Covenant context, listen to this. This is Jesus speaking, right? Verse 14, well, he was speaking right before this. This is John, the Holy Spirit through John. He said, verse 14, 22, Revelation 22, 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. Now, the reason I keep saying this, how many of you know what the Blue Letter Bible is? You know that app you can use, Blue Letter Bible? You can use it on your computer, your phone, whatever. It's free, right? A lot of people don't know this, but when you look up a Bible passage, you can click on a verse, and it'll go to another list. And then you hit interlinear lexicon concordance. You hit that button, and it's going to open up to you the lexicon. So it'll open up the words, all the words in the verse. In the New Testament, it'd be all the Greek words of the verse that you picked. And then next to it, it's going to tell you, you can click on that, and it'll take you to the Strong's. It'll take you to the Thayer's. It'll take you to... you have multiple lexicons that are pulled together in this thing. It's a great little app. But there's also, for the verbs there, there's a little thing that says parse. You know, parsing verbs. Remember if you had French or you had to do that in French. I remember French class. Okay. All right. You click on that and you find out, it'll tell you. It'll tell you the three main verb tenses in Greek, present tense, perfect tense, aorist tense. All right, so it's going to tell you which one of those, and it'll tell you the different moods and so on down the line. But just know this, that a present tense Greek verb, again, is continuous ongoing action taking place in the present. I have the old school book in my office, The Parsing Guide to New Testament Greek Verbs by Nathan E. Hand. All right, so I've been studying this stuff for years, even before the internets came out, right? All right. Now. This where he says, blessed are they that do his commandments. How many guess which one that is? Do. Present tense, ongoing, continuous, taking place in the present. It's also the Greek word prasso. Guess what the Greek word prasso means? To practice habitually. All right? So he says here, blessed are they that do habitually, continually his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and that they may enter through the gates of the city. So this is talking about eternal life. The tree of life is when you enter into heaven, you get to partake of the tree of life. You get to enter into the gates of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Why? Because you believed and kept living in sin and rebellion and disobedience? No, because you do. Now listen to this. It gets More interesting. Let's read it again. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, or on the outside, are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Uh-oh. You mean it's possible to love? I thought love was the highest commandment. Uh-oh. You mean you can love and still go to hell? Still be shut out of eternal life? Yeah, you know why? There's a counterfeit love. Didn't Jesus say even the lost, even the wicked love those that love them? Right? Don't fall for that stuff either, that love gospel. We just have to love and be in unity and be at peace and all is well. Can I just tell you this right now? There is no love where there is not truth. There is no love. You can't say you love God if you refuse to obey him. And that's what he's talking about. There are people say, well, I love my neighbor and I love people and I help the poor and I did this and I did that. And the Lord's going to say, yeah, but you lived a lie. You loved and you lived a lie. Yeah, you love people. How many of you know feeding the poor is not going to get you to heaven? It's a good thing to do. Not going to get you to heaven. So you can love the poor and still go to hell. Mother Teresa did it. Oh, my. How do I know she did it? Oh, did she love those orphans? Yeah, I'm sure she loved those orphans and wanted to help those orphans and did a great, wonderful work feeding and taking care of those orphans. She loved, but she lived a lie. You know what her lie was? She told everybody, it doesn't matter what you believe. You can be a Hindu, a Buddhist. You can be a Muslim. Just be the best Muslim or the best Buddhist or the best Hindu you can be, and you're going to make it to heaven because all religions lead to heaven. So she loved and she lied. Because Jesus said there is one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody's going to heaven. Nobody's making it but through him. You must believe in him. You must follow him. You must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. You must let him strengthen you and deliver you and free you so that you can make it. So, well, Pastor Dean, you're preaching works. Let me ask you something. If you're committing adultery, all right, first of all, you got to sneak around. You got to probably have two phones, like a drug dealer. Two or three phones. You got to make sure you delete texts and emails. You got to set up hotels. Got to make sure you buy flowers and don't send the wrong ones to the wrong woman. Let me tell you something. If you're committing adultery, you're working hard. Right? But if I stop doing all that, if I stop committing adultery and if I stop making all the provisions to commit adultery, am I working? See, we got a bunch of fools out here that say if you stop sinning, that's a work. No, that's rest. I don't have to go out and hunt a drug dealer to get my drugs. I don't have to go out and beg people for money and steal so I can go buy drugs or alcohol. See, when I get free and I stop doing drugs, I'm not working, I'm resting. When I stop looking at everything on the computer and the TV and HBO and Cinemax. And if you're a Christian, you should not have HBO, Cinemax, and Showtime in your house. Why do you think they call it the Naked People Channel? Oh, I was just passing by with the remote. No, no. David's problem was he knew bad where Bathsheba was going to be bathing, and he had no business walking out on the balcony and getting where he could get a view. Stop. I didn't mean to. No, you did. You planned it. How many of you know you got to plan to sin?
You got to plan to sin. You got to map it out. You got to work it out. It always costs you money, too. Let me tell you something. When I quit going to the bar and buying $7 and $10 and $15 drinks, man, didn't cost me any money to stay at home on Friday night, and I did it. See, when we repent of sin, that's rest. That's why he calls it, when we're sinning, the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh get us eternal wages of damnation. The wages of sin. Why do you think there's wages of sin? Because it's work. Tell me about it. Let me tell you, I know drugs and alcohol and fighting and bar hopping and all that stuff I was doing wore me out. Nearly killed me several times. You know, the Bible's true. You get drunk enough, you wake up with wounds, you don't know where you got them from. You know what? Before I came back to the Lord, I knew that if I kept doing what I was doing, I was going to be dead. Because I can't tell you how many times a gun stuck in my face or a knife stuck in my face. It was only a matter of time. And then, of course, there's one night I fought five guys, and I lost that one. It hurts to lose, especially when they're kicking you in the head and the back and hitting you with a baseball bat. It hurts. Especially hurts days after that. I knew I was going to be dead. I thank God I had enough sense when the Lord said, it's time to stop, son. And let me tell you what this is this morning. For some of you out there listening, for some of you in here today, this is the Lord saying it's time to stop. It's time to stop. It's time to stop pornography. It's time to stop drugs. It's time to stop adultery. It's time to stop fornication. It's time to stop. Stop the works of the flesh as Christians. And get on the road where you take up your cross and you follow Jesus until you get healed and delivered and free and strong. And you can honestly say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He is my strength. I can tell you right now, folks. Somebody was telling me yesterday, they said, I don't know how you did it last year when I was doing all the classes and teaching two-hour classes three times a week, getting those classes ready, getting Sunday services ready. It was a crazy, I mean, I was worn out. But let me tell you, I can look back on that. I can look back on doing the conferences. I can look back on all the struggles we've had in this church, even in the last few months. And I can say the reason I'm still here, still going, still pressing on is because Jesus is my strength. So when I can't, I feel like I can't do it, I say, Lord, you're with me. You're my strength. Some of you, listen to me, some of you, if you don't hear and heed this warning, you're not going to make it. You will be dead soon. Especially some of you on drugs. You will be dead soon. You can't abuse drugs for years and your body not finally say, I've had enough. All it takes is one time with the wrong drug or a little too much alcohol in your system and getting a vehicle, and you're dead. When I was 16 years old, I buried three of my friends on the same day. And it was because of alcohol. 16 years old. Don't let it be you. Oh, it won't be me, Pastor Dean. Yeah, that's what they say. We had a young man that used to go to this church a few years ago. Decided to go to a Christmas party. Got in the car with his cousin who had been drinking. They have a wreck. He dies. His cousin lives. He was 25, wasn't he? 26?
Oh, Pastor Dean, it's just a little marijuana. Yeah, I remember smoking some marijuana one time. There was something else in it. I didn't know it was in there. God made marijuana. He made the funky mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Smoke poison ivy. Let me just go in and tell you something. You think that God made every weed that's out there? I say that being facetious. We know from the Bible and from the book of Enoch that the fallen angels taught men how to manipulate both the plants and roots and not just other things. So everything that's, quote, natural is not natural. I mean, come on now. Can you imagine? We used to pick those mushrooms, and yes, I did the, what are they called? What's the real name for them? Do you know? No, there's a the other name. There's a the scientific name for the, he said. Do you know that that has to grow up out of a cow patty? I'm not joking. And it has to be cows that are fed grain, and it has to grow up in, you have to pick it out of the cow poop. Little hint, folks, probably not a good idea. Anything you got to pick out of poop, right? And then drink or smoke or eat. I'm serious. Oh, it's natural. Okay. Okay. You know LSD? LSD is a fungus, or what is it, a bacteria that grows on wheat. That's natural. Okay. Load up then. It only took me one time doing that stuff. I said, never again. So hear what I'm saying. You want to live? You want to live forever? Then it's time to take up your cross. And I promise you this. I will say, Pastor Dean, there was a time I tried for a little while, and I didn't get free. Well, I'm sorry, because you're probably surrounded by Christians that didn't know how to help you. But now there's a lot of Christians that understand deliverance, casting out demons, freedom. But let me say this. If you just get this truth down, you've got the battle won. That it's about taking up the cross, dying to self, taking up the cross, and following Jesus all the way, willing to give up anything. And if you ever stop on that road and there's an idol by there and you grab a hold of that idol, then you stop yourself. Now the good news is, you can throw the idol down. God, forgive me. Help me get back on the road. As long as you're breathing air, you can get back on the road. But don't ever, and you hear me on this, and I am going to quit. Don't make peace with your sin. Don't make peace with your addiction. Don't make peace with the devil. There's no okay. God's okay with it. No, you don't make peace with it. And if you do that, sometimes it may take a while to get free. But if you do that, you can get free because you realize this is my enemy. This is a rattlesnake. This pornography, this drug addiction, this adultery temptation or whatever, this is a rattlesnake. And I'm going to treat it like it's a rattlesnake. I understand it's dangerous. That's where you got to be with sin. You got to hate sin, love God. Somebody say that with me. Hate sin, love God. That's right, sweet girl. All right, let's stand. Oh, let's do a song this morning. That was so sweet. She's three. She's got it. Love God. All right. I guess do the third one. If you need prayer this morning, you need to repent of your sin, you want to come pray, I'll pray with you before we leave in here. Like I said, it's simple. It's, you know, I tell people all the time, people say, well, I don't believe in altar calls or sinner's prayer and all that. And I understand where you're coming from. But see, I just tell people this. I say, look, it's good to pray with people. It's good for people to confess their sins and confess Jesus before others. So altar calls are good. Because I always tell you, it's not this altar call. If you come up and pray with me, say I repent and I want to pray and pray for me, that's all wonderful and good. It's not what just what you do today. It's what you do tomorrow and the next day and a week from now. And where will you be in a month from now? Where will you be in 6 months? And let me tell you, if you've made up your mind like I did in 1987, then 6 months later, you're going to be stronger in Jesus than you were when you came up here. All right? But you don't have to come up here. Whatever God leads you to do. But let's do this song before we go.
Your strength that found me at my weakest. Your grace poured out in my despair. When I feel lifeless, tired, burned out and defeated, your perfect love will find me there. You called my name and you made.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that revival, resurrection, life, power is found in the blood of Jesus, his resurrection power, the fact that he rose from the dead on the third day. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in taking up our cross
and following Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I pray for everyone here, those watching and listening, that they will do that they will take up their cross, that they will follow you, that they will confess any sin and repent and make this the day that they decided, I'm done working. I'm done working the works of the flesh. I'm done working for the devil. Today's the day that I get on the road of following Jesus and headed toward my deliverance and my freedom and my healing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Well, you guys know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave. All right.